Talk about an agency where the work never stops. Customs and Border Protection, the nation's largest law enforcement agency, has been testing body-worn cameras for its officers, putting it ahead of other agencies mired in camera rulemaking. For an update, we turn to CBP Commissioner Gil Kerlikowske. Gil, good to have you back.
It's good to be with you.
All right, so let's talk about the camera testing. This has been an issue for police nationally, given some of the events that have happened in various cities. But for the most part, the federal government seems to be behind state and local police when it comes to body-worn cameras, but not CBP.
Well, we initiated a study over a year ago to take a look at this, and many of the other federal agencies have also utilized the process and are looking at these cameras. We have well over 10,000 cameras now, but they're in our checkpoints, our border patrol stations, our ports of entry. So the study on body-worn cameras and other uses for cameras was particularly helpful.
And so what have you discovered so far in terms of body-worn cameras?
Well, two things. I talked to a number of the Border Patrol agents that tested them, and they felt they were helpful. They felt that they were useful. And, of course, the feedback from local law enforcement is that these cameras often exonerate personnel far more than they ever get themselves in trouble for. So we're going to explore this, but we did find some difficulties. The very tough environment and terrain that the Border Patrol works in, finding a camera that can actually withstand that.
So that would be different than, say, the average municipal environment where you're not going to be running into sandstorms and that kind of thing.
Exactly. Not only the sand, but also thinking about an agent who's going to ride an ATV on pretty tough terrain for 8 or 10 hours. Those cameras need to be very hardened.
And so what have you found in terms of the video storage requirements and the networking and all of the technology required to support all that?
Well, we know that given the size of the Border Patrol, over 20,000 personnel, the number of people that would be in the field, that not only the storage, but also privacy concerns. You know, they're talking to juveniles, they're talking to women. It is not uncommon for a woman who has turned herself in at the border or that we've apprehended to say she'd been sexually assaulted by the coyotes, the smugglers. And so we want to be very concerned about privacy issues. It's an expensive undertaking, but it's one that we're working very hard at.
Now, do you have a contractor that handles all of the setup and so forth for this?
Well, we're still looking for the camera that will work, and we've had some discussions with some of the manufacturers that will work in that difficult terrain. But there are other places besides the ones that I mentioned where we already have cameras, such as putting the cameras in the dashboards of our vehicles, our pursuit vehicles in particular, and along with our boats. We have had incidents of boat crashes, even firearms incidents where we've interdicted smugglers, and having that camera mounted in a boat will also be helpful to us.
And what about the archiving? Do you have any sense of how long, say, a particular segment of video or a day's worth of video needs to be kept?
Well, we think that looking around the country, that the average amount of time would be 90 days unless that piece of the camera had been flagged for perhaps a complaint had been lodged or there was an arrest or a seizure of drugs, et cetera, then that would be kept much longer. But you're exactly right. Data storage, responding to the requests for FOIAs will be significant.
And have you had interest from other federal agencies that are still struggling with some of the rules, like privacy, for example, or technology surrounding body-worn cameras? Are they looking to you to maybe lead the way here?
I think they are, and we have brought the results of our study and made it certainly available to the other federal, particularly uniformed law enforcement agencies. So we'll continue to work with them and keep them informed on this.
Are there any, say, DOD or military-grade cameras that you've looked at that maybe could be adopted for your environment?
Well, you know, the issue, because certainly the difficult environment that DOD works in, or JSOC, some of these cameras withstand quite a bit of rough handling. The difference, I think, with the Border Patrol is that this goes on hour after hour after hour. It isn't a quick insertion or a particular incident. You know, you could be out there, even if the camera's not on, you could be in that rough terrain for 8, 10, and 12 hours, picking up, as we saw, sand and dust, which gummed up the camera, works pretty quickly.
We're speaking with Gil Kerlikowske, the Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection. And while we have you, there's been some interesting trends in what's happening, especially on the southern border. I guess there was another spike in minors in the summer, but now things are falling a little bit. Tell us what you've seen in the last 6 months or so.
Well, so in the last 6 months, beginning toward the end of July, we've actually seen an increase in the number of unaccompanied children compared to the same period the year before. And by the way, most of these kids are turning themselves in. It's not a border security issue. It's a border management issue. The other part is that it continues with the majority of these kids coming from the three Central American countries of Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala.
So nothing really new there, a little less seasonal maybe than it was before?
Well, that certainly is right, because we almost always see a downturn in people attempting to cross the border during that period of time we've been talking about. This trend is very different, and it is an increase, and it certainly has our attention and certainly the attention of the Secretary.
And what kinds of accommodations have you had to make to house them and take care of them before deciding what their disposition will be?
Given our experience in the summer of 2014, we were able to, and we did not have any of these things in place. So in McAllen, we have a processing center that can house up to 1,200 people. We have contracts for security services and transport. For healthcare services, this processing center has a nurse practitioner on duty, and also food service. So that keeps our agents being able to work more in the field and do more of the processing, but less of the things that they were having to do in the summer of 2014.
And a lot of the politicians, anyway, were expressing the worry that ISIS or terrorist-type forces would use the Mexican route in. Have you seen evidence of that, or are you on the lookout for that kind of thing?
We have not seen any evidence of that. And when you think about a cartel in Mexico that's involved in drug smuggling or even human smuggling, to think about being involved in bringing someone who may be a terrorist in amongst that group would bring an incredible amount of focus and attention, frankly, quite a bit of heat from not only the United States government, but certainly the government of Mexico. So from a business model, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense that those plaza bosses, those cartels would want to be involved in attempting to bring somebody in who is a potential terrorist.
And I'm looking at the chart published by the initiative on deaths by sector, and it looks like in 2015, in fiscal 2015, which we just concluded a couple of months ago, deaths along the border have fallen pretty significantly. What are some of the top line stats there, and why this good trend?
Well, Tom, we're pleased because people, and we've said this over and over again in our messages to Central America and here in the United States, how incredibly dangerous that journey can be and the number of deaths that have resulted. And so we're pleased that those deaths have continued to decrease. I give a tremendous amount of credit to, one, our Border Patrol and the fact that we have a specialized group of agents who are trained as EMTs. I don't think I go a day without seeing a situation room report in which they have they've rescued either a family or an individual member who was in great distress. So I'm very proud of the work that they do. And also the non-governmental organizations that have put out sensors that have, as far as warning beacons where someone can call for help.
Gil Kerlikowske is Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.